come this evening. Oh, Lord, we're so excited at what you are doing. We're so excited at the change that you're making in us. Lord, we are in full agreement with what Pastor Daniel said. Lord, this change, Lord, it's not about positive affirmation. It's not about, you know, reading self-help books. Lord, it is, you've made us a new creation. Lord, your spirit is now residing in us. And I firmly believe, Lord, that we have yet to experience the fullness of what you have for us. And so, Lord, we come tonight with full expectation. Lord, will you allow us to hear more clearly what your spirit is saying tonight? Lord, that we will line ourselves up. Lord, let us understand that this message is for us. For us first, and second for our neighbor. We give you all thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. What a good start to tonight. We got together with 30 some odd men this morning for men's breakfast and men worshiping and reading the word. That was so exciting. So men, once a month we get together, and so I want to encourage you to come and join us. But I want to begin tonight. We're going through the book of Genesis still. I've titled this evening's message, Magnified Faith. So I want to begin by asking you this question. How many of you would say you're stronger today than you were 10 years ago? Okay, wow, there's a few of you. Okay, good for you. How many of you would say, well, I've had better days than I do now? Okay. How many of you could care less? Raise your hand. There you go. I'm stronger than I was 10 years ago here. I mean, if you were to measure it in the gym, it probably wouldn't be that way. But in my mind, I'm still in my 20s. But how about faith? Would you say you're stronger today than you were 10 years ago? Or would you say I'm weaker today? How many would say you're stronger today in your faith? Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. God is doing some good things. You know, and what I'm talking about magnifying, it almost has to do like with influence. It's like, what is going to be magnified in my life? Is it faith that's going to be that which is magnified in my life, which is what we want? Or will it be doubt that's magnified in my life? See, because both are vying to have influence over you. Both faith and doubt are going to fight to influence you. You know, there's days, and it's sort of surprising to me that you can leave church and you're just like, man, I can conquer the world. And by Wednesday, you're like, the world's conquering me. You know what I'm talking about? It's just life. Life comes at you, and it doesn't take a day off. It comes at you. It comes at you in the form of your boss. It comes after you in the form of illness. It comes after you in the form of your kids. It just comes after you in the form of bills. You name it. It just does. Spiritual oppression. I mean, people tell you when you go to Haiti, you feel the oppression. You'd almost cut it with a knife. And that is always really what life is all about. And so what I want to look at is really the life of Abraham and Sarah. And we're going to see that they likewise went through challenges. And there's no greater challenge than delay. If you are experiencing delay in God answering a prayer, if you're experiencing delay in something that you've been contending for, there's no greater challenge to your faith than that. To pray and seemingly, and I use that word, and I put it in quotes, seemingly nothing has happened. Nothing is happening. Something is happening. Amen. Something is happening, whether we see it or whether we do not see it. But I think we learn from Abraham and Sarah's life that even though we don't see it yet manifest, we still push through. What we're going to see today is they're going to see the realization of what was promised to them, but they are realizing it 25 years after it was promised to them. I mean, think about it. How many of you would say, yeah, I'd very patiently wait for 25 years, right? How many, yeah, somebody did, you know, was snorting. Yeah, they're like, man, I can't even make it 25 days. I mean, like you, I mean, can't even make it 25 minutes, right? I mean, I'm going through a drive-through, and I tell you what, if it's not fast enough, I mean, I start turning into a bear. I'm thinking, I hope they don't know I'm a pastor. I mean, I don't get that crazy. Unless I'm waiting for my morning coffee, then that's a whole different thing. Or chips. You know what? Can I give you a good report? I went to go see the doctor this week, and I got weighed. I haven't had chips. This is a sidetrack. Thanks for sidetracking me. But our OSL student level one, they have been fasting media, right? As they get 2 hours of media each week as part of our discipleship program. So when we first told them there, they were freaking out. They're like, it's impossible to do that. And I said, you know what I'll do? Just so there's a connection. I said, you go ahead and fast media and I'll fast chips. I mean, I love chips. But because I haven't eaten chips, I've lost 8 pounds. I know, go figure. I didn't know they were that bad for me, but, keep this up, man. I'm going to get in my fighting weight again, you know. So we're in Genesis 18, but I want to give you a real quick summary of Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis 12, they were named Abram and Sarai, and God called them from place called Ur of the Chaldeans, which would be modern-day southern Iraq, and he called them to a new land. They took their cousin with them, Lot. The Lord called them to Canaan. They went to Canaan. They took a little detour to Egypt and came back. Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot, they're wealthy. They have a lot of livestock, so they split life. Lot goes to the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, what we would call modern-day Las Vegas. In Genesis 14, Abraham has to go rescue him, right? That's, what happens in Vegas, you need to be rescued from. And that's what really he had to do, right? They don't tell you that in the commercial. Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham. Really, the covenant was made even way at Genesis 12. He ratifies it. So the covenant is made, a promise is given. The covenant is that even though you are of advanced age, even though your wife is barren and of advanced age, that I'm still from you going to bring a nation, I'm going to bring a people, I'm going to make you father of nations, and from you will come really one who will touch the world. Those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I will curse, which is why it's important that we be those that support Israel. In Genesis 16, Abram and Sarai kind of come up with a plan B. And so they think, well, yeah, God's going to give us children, but obviously it's not going to be through me. And so go into my handmaiden. In other words, have relationships with my servant and we'll create a kid just the way God wanted. But that's not what God wanted, okay? Genesis 17, and Pastor Daniel spoke about this a few weeks ago. Circumcision, what that meant, the rite of circumcision, and also the renaming. So now God changed the name to Abraham, which really means the father of nations, and changed her name to Sarah. So what we're going to talk about today is faith. My hope is that you will leave here tonight and you'll understand that both doubt and faith vie for the same space in you. And that you'll learn how to, as it were, move doubt out of the way and let faith occupy more of you. See, because it's usually the other way. Can we get an amen? It's usually the other way. And so I want you to believe tonight. See, that's what faith is about. Faith is about believing. Even though you don't yet see it, you still believe. So if you need a special touch tonight, that you would have faith that God's going to touch you. If you need a miracle, maybe you need a miracle, an outright miracle. Will you believe him tonight? Maybe you need direction in your life. You say, you know, Pastor, I got to be honest. I'm just like aimless. I feel sometimes like I'm on a ship with no rudder and no sail, no nothing. I'm just wherever the wind takes me, wherever the waves take me, that's where I am. So maybe tonight you need encouragement. You need strength. You're just discouraged. Courage has left you, right? Courage has left you. You used to be like a lion or a lioness, and now you're, I don't know, like whatever doesn't have courage, you know? A kitten, although I'm going to offend kitten people. maybe tonight you need salvation. You say, I need a fresh start. Or maybe you're just bound to something. Something is just holding you. Something always trips you up. And maybe you've been battling something for years. You said, Pastor, you know, I've gone to this church and that church and this church, and still there's something that nobody knows about that trips me up. Well, I'm believing that tonight you're going to get untripped. Amen? That tonight you're going to be set free. Maybe you need comfort or protection. I'm going to pray tonight that you get it. So here we go. Are you ready? God's got something for you tonight. You'll receive it if you're going to trust him. That's how it works. If you're going to believe him, you will receive it. So let's go to Genesis 18. So here the Lord, Genesis 18, appears to Abram again. It says, the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Once again, he's in Palestine. It gets pretty hot there. So he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, there was three men standing by him. Now, one of those is really, scholars believe, is the pre-incarnate Christ, that it was Christ right before he had assumed the body. Others believe it was Yahweh himself. I mean, it was God, right? So three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, so it's God and two angels, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, Adonai, right? My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on your servant. Well, you see, that's a good principle to know, right? If God is in the house, right? If God's in the house, don't let him pass by. See, I usually say, Lord, you know, since you're in a neighborhood, why don't you touch me, right? When I hear somebody say, man, God touched me. God's doing this in me. In my mind, tells me he's in the neighborhood. Take advantage of it, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. Don't ever miss an opportunity for God to touch you. And he's here. When his people gather, he's here. He manifests himself. He's always with us, right? He's always with us. He resides in us, but he manifests himself when his people gather. Let's jump down to Genesis verse 9. What happens is, so they decide to stay. And it's interesting. If you want to study hospitality, read the next verses. It's amazing how Abraham takes care of this guy. My sense is he knew that it was God. Right? He had to have known. And, you know, obviously in that day, those in Palestine, people were, you know, hospitality was huge. Not like in our day, but in that day it was really huge. But he even goes overboard. So I think he knew, right? I think he knew there was divinity there. So verse 9. So here's what happens, these three. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Well, Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, at this point, Abraham is 99. Sarah is like 89. I mean, they're beyond their prime. Verse 12, therefore, Sarah what? Laughed. Like, are you kidding me? 89, am I going to have a baby? It'll kill me, right? I mean, can you imagine being a daddy at 89, Sporty? Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, that's right. Just getting started. Yeah. So she laughs, right? Says she laughed within herself. Have you ever done that? You know, you're like, huh. You're like, whatever. I mean, you know, you do that. I'm gonna mention later on in my sermon. Someone comes and prays for you, and we gotta admit, sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm really not believing that's gonna help. I mean, you know, thanks for praying for me, right? They lay hands on you, they give you their best prayer, right? And inside you're like, will you get it over with? Come on, that's. We can relate to Sarah, right? We can read. I'm like, I can't believe she laughed. My goodness, we do that all the time. So it says, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord? Now, that's a different word, Adon, on this one, being old also. He's saying, I'm old. I'm older than dirt, and my husband's older than dirt. I mean, yeah, we're going to have the pleasure of a kid. And the Lord said to Abraham, notice how the Lord goes to Abraham. Man, when God comes looking for something that's not right in the home, guess who he's going to come to? He's going to come to you. See, because if there's doubt in Sarah, chances are there was doubt in who else? Abraham. Like, where did Sarah pick it up? I mean, I can imagine if Abraham, no, I'm believing God and I know it's going to happen. Tell you what, chances are she'd be that place. So God comes to Abraham. And he says, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Verse 14, underline this in your Bible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, said, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. See, God knows. Darn, God knows. He always knows. Give it up, man. Give it up. He knows. That's why I came to him. When somebody gave me the revelation that God has seen everything I've done, he knows everything I've ever thought about doing, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm fried. I'm toast, right? I'm toast. So I'm going to give you three principles that I see really from this portion of Scripture. If you focus, here's the first one. If you focus on the challenge or challenges, here's what will happen. Doubt will be magnified in you. That's what happens. It is a done deal. If you begin to focus on the mountain, doubt will crowd everything else. Look at verse 12 once again. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, now look what she's going to point to. She's going to point to the mountain. She's going to point to the challenge. After I've grown old, she says, there's the problem. There's the first challenge. I'm too old, right? Shall I have pleasure? My Lord also being old. There's another problem. He's too old. See, we say, man, I only make minimum wage, and I got this, or you know, the doctors say it's you know, second level this, or you know, it's we do the very same thing. You know, in her mind, she's like, man, this sounds ridiculous. Here's what I got to tell you. If you leave the realm of faith, anything God asks you to do will sound ridiculous. See, because it is ridiculous unless you move in faith and you walk in faith, because it doesn't make sense. And also, I think another thing that you and I are challenged by is what I call church talk. See, who else will admit that it drives you crazy when someone says, well, you just need to trust Jesus? Raise your hand if you just like, it bothers you. Man, we got a lot of good people in this church. Man, there's only the pastor and five others need to be kicked out. I remember when I was a new believer, I'd probably been saved for about a year. And I had this bone tumor. I didn't know at the time I was an athlete, but something I just knew. I knew my body real well when you're an athlete. Something wasn't right with my leg. And so I, you know, began to see doctor after doctor and specialist after specialist. And, you know, I think I saw seven at the time. And, you know, was hospitalized. They ran all these tests. And then, you know, they were suggesting that I go see a special doctor, right, that deals with problems of the mind. You know, when they can't figure it out, they just think you're crazy, don't they? Amen? So I won't tell you what I said to that doctor because I was a new believer at the time. I wasn't... My parents weren't real pleased with me, but I was... like I said, I was still rough around the edges. But I remember I went off to college and had seen all these doctors and wanted to compete at the time in college, but my leg just wasn't letting me compete. So doctor after doctor after doctor, they took all these x-rays. And so I was really frustrated. I mean, I was on pain pills, just the pain was so bad. I even had to wake up in the middle of the night and take pain pills. It was that bad. So I knew something was wrong with my leg. I mean, they wanted to operate on my back. I'm like, are you kidding me? No, you know, it's amazing what they, I'm like, no. And so I remember this, I thought, I'll go see another doctor. I went to go see another doctor. And so that night I was sharing frustration with a friend of mine who was even a newer believer than I was. His name is Dan. And Dan just, you know, gave me the solution. You just need to trust whom? Jesus. And you know, I'm like, it's like on the you know, chalk wall. Hey, just great. I'm like, part of me is like, who are you? You're a newer believer than I am. Who are you to... You know, I mean, it just, but we get that way sometimes, do we not? We're like, oh my gosh, if you're going to tell me one more time, I just got to trust Jesus, I'm going to barf. I'm being honest here. Let's be honest in church, right? And so that morning I went to go see the doctor, and so the doctor was there, and he had all my reports from other doctors, all the x-rays. I have had way too many x-rays taken of me. And he had some taken, and so we had this meeting together. And so I'm like, in the back of my mind, yeah, Dan's sister is Jesus, yeah, whatever, you know. And so he's saying, you know, all these doctors have done these reports, all these x-rays. I've taken my x-rays, and he's like, I can't tell you what's wrong. I don't know. And so much for trusting Jesus, right? And so he leaves the room. You know when doctors leave, they're gone, right? He leaves the room. And I'm just like, man, this is just, you know, part of me was thinking, now I get to go tell Dan, what? You know, trust Jesus? But there began to well up something in me. I just knew, wait a minute, something's about to happen. And I'm thinking, I don't know how to describe it except my spirit. I knew the doctor's coming back. And sure enough, he comes back and he's like hemming and hawing. He's like, he goes, I don't know why I'm doing this. He goes, I've got all your x-rays. I've taken my own x-rays. I'm going to have one more set of x-rays taken. And he said, I'm going to just have them taken from even a different angle, right? And he kept apologizing. He goes, I'm sorry, I'm wasting your time probably, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so I go and go directly from there and go have the x-ray taken. And guess what? They find a baseball-sized tumor in my leg. And he's like, I can't. He goes, it's beyond me why it wasn't caught. From all, you've had x-rays taken from different angles. Well, you know why he found it? I believe because my friend Dan, right, told me I had to trust Jesus, you know, and Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to teach you a lesson, son, that even though it bothered you and you hate church talk, it's still a truth that if you trust me, I move on your behalf. Amen? Amen. See, we sometimes look at Sarah and we like, man, I can't believe she didn't have faith. I can't believe she laughed. But Abraham did too. If you go back to Genesis 17:17, it says Abraham fell on his face and he what? He laughed. And he said, where? In his heart. Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Even he laughed. Right? So we sometimes think, oh, man, I can't believe Sarah laughed. They both did. See, so how do we go from being a skeptic to faith? How do we make that transition? A lot of it is really self-talk. We need to get in the habit of talking to ourselves, right? Because we do anyway. See, and the self-talk oftentimes brings doubt. We say stuff like this. We pray maybe something didn't happen seemingly, and we say, well, I'm just not a good enough Christian. See, we somehow believe that God is going to move based on how good we are. Let me settle that right now. You'll never be good enough for him to move. Get it done. I don't care if you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to live like a Boy Scout today. I'm going to walk every little old lady across the street, right? I'm going to tip the clerk at Fred Meyer, right? I don't care if you get up and you say, I'm going to just be good today. Doesn't matter, right? But that's what we tell ourselves. Now, just so you don't get me wrong, I'm not giving you liberty to go and, you know, I think I'm going to go back to drinking, right? Because it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. But not in the way that you think. You think God's not going to move in you because you're not perfect. Well, he's the only one that's perfect. Amen? Or we say things like, man, well, God's ways are just mysterious. No, they're not. See, they're not mysterious in this sense. God is one who wants to reveal himself to people. See, they're only a mystery to me when I haven't asked him. When I haven't asked him. Right? It's like you're walking with a friend. Right? You're walking. And it's a mystery where you're going until you ask what? Where are we going? It's the same way with the Lord. You ask him and he'll tell you. He'll tell you. You know, you say, oh, I'm not praying according to his will. All these things that we tell ourselves. And what they do, they just bring in doubt. Here's the second thing instead. I want you to focus on the nature of God because it's that which will magnify faith. If you want faith to grow in you, don't look at yourself. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at God. That's where faith will begin to grow. Once again, the Lord's teaching this to Abraham. In Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Who is he looking at? Is he looking at the problem? No, he's looking at his nature. He's looking, and I think that's a good self-talk. Wait a minute. I don't care how bad it looks. Is anything too hard for God? And the answer is what? No. Okay, I'll keep walking. I'll keep walking in faith. We need to tell ourselves that. Because the battlefield is in the mind. Man, the battle that is in the mind. The mind just comes up with all these excuses. And instead, we need to just focus on who God is. See, we get weary praying. You know, we're praying for different things. And you've heard me say, I mean, I prayed for a daughter for 8 years. And it gets wearying. It gets wearying. But God taught me a lot. I'll tell you what. I mean, and so contend and continue to contend. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I've been contending for 5 years, I'll say, keep contending. Pastor, I've been contending for 25 years. Keep contending. Right? You haven't contended more than Abraham has. So what brings doubt to you the most? Is it maybe family stuff? Maybe your kids? Like your kids, your grandkids? Is that what... It's like, man, my kids will never get saved. My kids will never be, you know, the children that God meant for them to be. You know, my kid are in the camp of the enemy. Oh, my gosh. You know, I tell you what, if you come talk to me about your kid being in the camp of the enemy, you know what? We just pair up. We're like, okay, we're going to go get him, right? Because they don't belong to him. They don't belong to him, right? And so I'm hoping to raise up a church that have a fighter spirit, that you get ticked off. I'll say it that way, right? We're in church. That you get ticked off, right? Some other people use the word P in there, but I don't. That you get ticked off, right? Whatever you want to use, that there becomes a something in you that is just stirred up, and you say, you know what? I'm not going to stand for it. Don't ever stand for something like that. You know, if you got a neighbor that says, you know, my kid is, so I'll tell you what, we're going to get together, right? Let's get together for coffee once a week or whatever. We're gonna hit it. But the enemy is not going to keep our kids. Maybe it's finances. You're like, oh my gosh, I feel like my finances are cursed. Maybe they are. We can talk about that, right? I need breakthrough in my finances. Maybe it's your health, right? You're just like, oh my gosh, I've been in bad health for a long time. Maybe we need to talk about that, right? But we all have those areas in which there's, you know, we can be strong here. We can be strong in 9 areas, but there's that one area where man is like, man, I feel like a nominal believer in that area. I just don't have faith. Is your addiction too hard for God? No. Is your habit too hard for God? How about your marital problems? Is that too hard for God? Your teenager's rebellion, the disease doctors say you have. I mean, whatever it might be, is it too hard for God? It's not. If it were, I would say, you know what? You better go find yourself another God. I'd go find myself another God. But I'm convinced, I know, right? I know that I know that I know. Right? The God we serve, Yahweh, the Almighty One. Right? The Almighty One, that nothing is too difficult for Him. You know why? Not only do I believe His Word, but He's proven Himself time and time and time again. I have history with Him. You know, I know some people, and I heard a preacher on the radio the other day, and you know, he's the whole thing about healing. Well, you know, I don't know if God wants to heal. I've seen God heal, so I'm responsible for that now. See, I can't be ignorant of it. I've seen Him do it. Not only do I know the Word, but I've seen Him do it. I've been an instrument of it. I even seen Him do it when I had little faith. I've seen Him do it. I know. Preacher's always the last one. Oh, my gosh, they got healed. It's amazing. But instead, we focus on the nature of God, that God wants to be involved in our lives. Here's the third thing, I love this, that when faith comes, when faith is magnified, there comes a reward. See, that's the thing about the nature of God. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So what pleases God? Faith in Him. That's what pleases Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's what I'm saying. Lord, I believe what this word is saying about you. I believe what you say about yourself in this holy book, right? But I love what it says. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a what? Rewarder. See, we think we serve a God who's stingy. We serve a God that we think we got to talk him into stuff. We got to wrestle him. Okay, I'll give in. That's not God. He's a rewarder. Amen. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, we look at Abraham and Isaac's life, and we're like, man, they laughed at God. They didn't think God was going to do it. And we got to be honest, it was the miraculous. I tell you what, there's things that we struggle with, and then there's bigger things, and they had a big one. But if you look in Hebrews 11, okay, Hebrews 11, they call that the faith chapter, the faith hall of fame, and it even lists Sarah as the one who believed in God, Hebrews 11:11, right? She came around. Even though there she laughed, she must have come around. Even though Abraham laughed, somewhere he came around. They got to the point where he said, you know what? We're older than we were when the promise was given to us 25 years ago, but we're still going to believe him. Even though our bodies, as Scripture says in Hebrews 11, even though our bodies are as good as dead, we're still going to believe him. Right? There's not a such thing as a hopeless situation. So in Genesis 21, we'll see if God kept his promise to them. It says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac, the miracle boy, right? Isaac. They had to hire a nanny to chase him. Abraham, 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made me what? Laugh. And all who hear me will laugh with me. See, faith began to grow. There was still an expectancy. Somewhere she came to the point where she said, you know what? What God has said, he will do. See, their faith grows really in the field of expectancy. When we wake up in the morning and we say, you know what? God has heard me and God cares about me. He does care about me. Cares about everything that I do. You know, this week, I was just worshiping the Lord and reading his word, I had just waves of God's love come at me. And man, I was on the ground just on all fours, just weeping. Lord, I'm like, Lord, I can't believe you're that good to me. I just can't believe, Lord, you haven't given up on me. Lord, I just can't believe you put up with me. Lord, but the Lord's saying, yes, but I do. But I love you. You know, and it just waves. I mean, I was weeping. It was a good weep, man. It was a good weep. And I've just left, got up more convinced of his love for me. See, the enemy wants me to focus on my shortcomings. He wants me to focus on yesterday, how I blew it. He wants me to focus on how I was all cranky because they gave me the wrong drink, right? For the baristas that are here at church, sorry. But the Lord said, no, I know those things. But I love you. And so I just felt, church, his love. You know, I want you to feel his love too. Take time off. Just shut everything down around the house. Shut it all down. Turn off your TV. Turn off your cell phone. Just get with God and just say, Lord, speak to me about your love. And I'll tell you what, it'll come in waves. You'll have an anticipation that God is going to move on your behalf. See, sometimes we need to get the right combination, you know, to get God to move. The combination is simple. Ask him and believe. It's that simple. Okay? I love the way David said it. David said in Psalms 5:3, this is a good song. I love this song. He says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will what? Look up. Why is he looking up? Because he's expecting God to move. Oh, hey, he's expecting God to move. I remember the first prayer service that I ever went to. I went to this prayer service, and there were I got saved in a Baptist church, but they took me to this Pentecostal meeting. There was these undercover Pentecostals in this Baptist church, and so they took me to this meeting, and so I'm praying in there, and I'm a good Catholic. I went to church twice a year, and so I didn't know how to pray, but I'm like, okay. So they got to me, and I'm praying, and so I'm like, mumbling something, and so I remember they said, no, lift up, and so they lifted my head up, and they said, look up. Look up. When you pray, look up. Right? And they're trying to teach me to expect. See, because this thing it gives the impression that what? There's doubt. He's not going to move. Right? But this says, oh, Lord, I'm waiting for you to move. May you pray differently in this church? Maybe we need to lift our chins up a little bit. Walk and trip, It's okay. At least you're expecting him to move. And I love this. Maybe you say, I'm a pastor, in that belief, that whole faith, I'm a little shaky. You're in good company. Write this verse down. Read this story. This man, he's got a son who is demon-possessed. This demon's trying to kill him. The disciples, they weren't able to cast this demon out, so he brings him to Jesus. Jesus casts him out. Jesus asked him, he says, you think I can do this, basically? And he said, oh, yeah, I think so. But this is what I love what he says next in 9:24. It's just like us. Immediately the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my what? Unbelief. There's this part of me, Lord, that just doesn't want to believe. Lord, will you help that part? And that's a good prayer. Lord, man, I want to believe that you're going to do it, but Lord, I got to be honest. There's this part of me that just has a little doubt. Lord, will you give me that gentle push? Man, I pray that all the time. So don't ever let that voice condemn you. And say, Lord, I'm like this dad. Give me that gentle push. I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32:17. I'll tell you a real quick story about Jeremiah. Right, Jeremiah, he had a hard job as a prophet. He's prophesying. The Lord raises him up to prophesy. Here's the prophecy. Because Israel has disobeyed, the Lord's raising up the Babylonians. They're going to come. They're going to wipe us out. But God wants you to surrender to them. Well, it didn't go real good. In fact, the king locked him up. Jeremiah, I'm throwing you in prison. I don't like what you're saying, dude. Bad news. You're a bearer of bad news. Change, Jeremiah. He's like, I can't. This is the message that the Lord has given me. So here he is. He gets thrown into prison by the king. The Babylonians are coming, and they're just taking city after city, and they're laying siege to Jerusalem, where the king is, where Jeremiah's in prison, and Jeremiah knows it's a done deal, right? And he's telling the king, we're supposed to surrender. That's what the Lord wants us to, because the Lord was going to lead him into captivity for 70 years. Right, they're going to go into captivity for 70 years, and then he was going to bring them back. So, can you imagine, Jeremiah? You're through the years. You're preaching. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. While he's in prison, a funny thing happens. The Lord says to him, "You're to buy this property, this piece of property." And so his cousin comes and he says, "I'm going to sell you this piece of property." Interestingly, he's selling the piece of property that has already is not only in the war zone, but really now is in the control of the Babylonians. I mean, that's like somebody saying, man, I got an awesome property for you. You're interested in investment? Yeah. Okay, it's in Afghanistan. where do I sign up? It's the same way. But Jeremiah heard the Lord to buy it, so he buys it. He buys it, right? Well, later on, he begins to think, did I make a mistake? Lord, was that me? Anybody ever think it's you? Like, was that the Lord or was that me? But he still bought it, right? See, he's thinking, I must be going crazy because it doesn't make sense. I've been prophesying this thing just like the Lord told me. The Babylonians sure have come. They've taken over the land. And now I'm buying property. Why would I? In fact, he says, buy it legally, right? With all the, you go to the title company. You make sure it gets recorded. It's like, why? The Lord says, I want you to buy property so that the people know I'm going to keep my word. That I'm going to bring them back in 70 years. Hey, if you didn't think I was gonna bring the people back, why would you buy property? Why would you buy property? See, that sometimes faith doesn't make sense, but we must crowd out doubt. We must contend because both are contending. So how do you do it? I'm gonna just give you four quick things. You ready? I'm gonna end with this. Steve, come on up. And you're gonna say, oh, Pastor, you always say this every week. Here we go. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to read this holy book every week. Every day. Excuse me. Yeah, every day. Every day. You're right. You're right. We have journals out there that you can buy, and they have a reading plan in the back that you can check off. Some of you like to have this, you know, check off. That's perfect. You can also write, you journal what the Lord has shown you. But faith comes by hearing the what? The Word of God. You need to get into His Word. Another thing that I encourage you to learn to praise God. It's great that we have an amazing worship team. It's amazing we got worship. You got to learn how to worship when you're out there. Right? That word I talk about, that verse from Psalms. I love singing that all the time. I mean, I'm not going to sing it right now, but... But I always let it go through me all the time. I always got some worship song. In fact, Pam will tell you, I usually, because I don't remember words that well, I usually like put three together. Pam's like, that's not the way the song goes. I don't care, right? It's in my heart. I lift it up. Thank the Lord. Even before you see it, get in the habit of just having a thankful heart. Thank Him for everything. Every little thing, thank Him. Thank Him for everything. And then here's the last one. Shake off negative thought. Shake off negative self-talk. Maybe you need to join a support group of some sort. Of people that will help you. People that will hold you accountable. People that understand how you're thinking. Right? People that know, oh, man, you're thinking as crazy as I am. Let's hold each other accountable. We need that. Because let's be honest, we all have crazy thinking. Can I get an amen? Good. We all have crazy thinking. Yeah, all of us. Except my lovely wife, Pam. But the rest of us. Let's worship the Lord. Everybody up, man. God is so good. God is so good.